This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, half hour into the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry's in San Antonio. Nick and I are here. Plenty for you. Jeff Blum, by the way, Nick, should be on the agenda to be joining us here shortly. So we need to get Jeff Blum on the phone because he's here. And then 2:30 is our normal segment with Sigmund Bloom. Yep. So I know that we're going to have plenty of fantasy football questions. So like we always do and we always tell you, you can text us or tweet us your fantasy football questions ahead of time and we will stack them and rack them. If you do want to call, as we get to the break leading up to 2:30 at the midway point of the show, we will give you one final reminder. That's when you call so that you can be on the air with Sigmund Bloom and ask questions.
Fair. Word. There get them go. In. Get them in now. And what I do is if you guys start texting now, 713-780-3776, just text your fantasy questions. I mark them and save them for that segment. So it's not like they're forgotten. And we go in order. So if you text them now, we're good to go.
Sweet. Hey, without further ado, by the way, the man, the myth, the legend, Jeff Blum, joining us now on an off day. We really appreciate that. You know him from AT&T Sportsnet as he and Todd Kalas entertain you every single night with Astros baseball. Blummer, we appreciate you joining us. Great follow, by the way, on Twitter. So check him out at Jeff Blum. That's G-E-O-F-F. And Blummer, first question I got for you, aside from what happened last night, is we've been kicking it around here quite a bit. When you look at the pitching staff and the playoff roster and decisions that have to be made, how do you see that shaken out with there's some decisions to be made when you talk about the likes of Devinsky and Peacock? The two young kids have thrown the ball really well. And how that kind of parlays to how many pitchers do you think AJ is going to carry? And do you think Max Stassi is going to be on that roster, or is he only going to carry two catchers in Gattis?
My gosh, it's good to be on with you guys. And usually you kind of fluff me up a little bit instead of just throwing me right into the fire with all these postseason predictions and things like that.
Well, Blummer, we're going to get to Burt Crackler later, but we got to get to business first.
I hear you. No, those are good questions. I think the starting rotation we know is going to be very good no matter how I think AJ uses it. But that bullpen is going to be interesting. And I think it got even more interesting with Josh James showing up because some of the names that you've mentioned, Devo, Peacock coming back, hasn't looked extremely sharp. Devinsky hasn't looked sharp. A lot of pitches being left out over the plate. And some of the velocity might be an issue. The action on his changeup might be an issue. Tony Sipp has shown flashes of brilliance, but in some higher leverage type situations, the ability to throw the strike might be a little bit of an issue. So I don't know how that's going to go forward. But, I am very fortunate that I get to sit here and talk to you guys because I know AJ Hinch and a lot of the people in the front office are going to be offering a lot of opinions for AJ Hinch. And what AJ's got to do is take what he sees on the field and what he feels and try and match it up with what the analytics are saying because it's going to be a tough choice. We know the back end with Osuna and Presley and I think Rondon, even though he had a rough outing the other day, and maybe even Joe Smith in the back end of that bullpen will be solid. But after that, it's kind of up for grabs right now.
Hey, so tell me, Jeff, how impressed were you with Josh James's outing the other night?
Extremely. And we put up a graphic yesterday talking about him and Framber Valdez. I think it shows a lot of faith that the organization has in these two guys just to be contributing factors here down the stretch because they're giving them starts against quality teams like the Seattle Mariners, and they're trying to clinch. So it's kind of playoff atmosphere-like for these guys and situations for these guys, and I think that AJ and Brent Strom want to see how these guys react. For me, the ERAs are pretty similar, but for me, the deciding factor is the ability to throw strikes. And Framber Valdez has a little bit of an issue with that.
Yeah.
It's probably because he has a ton of movement and he's still trying to harness it. But Josh James, throws strikes, throws 100-plus miles an hour when he needs to, can go multiple innings, and he's a right arm. And there's a lot of big right-handed bats in the American League that are going to be in the playoffs that he might match up well against. I'm very impressed with what Josh James has shown me.
So that's the good, Blummer. I'm not going to say bad, but I'm going to say concerned. The other side of the equation, Dallas Keuchel. Again, last night, early on, you can tell it's just, you can tell normally in the first inning which Dallas Keuchel you're going to get. He was not on his game. He's been hot and cold in the last month or so after really kind of putting it together, getting above 500. How concerned are you about Keuchel heading into the playoffs?
Not very, just because, you know, he blew up yesterday. And if you think about it, there was that one play, I believe it was the, I think it was in the fifth inning, when there was a relay coming to the home plate off the bat of Robinson Cano. And we saw a little bit of a mental lapse in Martin Maldonado not following up and trying to tag out Mitch Haniger, which I think if he tags him out, Dallas is out of the inning. Mm-hmm. That non-tag turned into two more runs. So Dallas would have gotten out of that inning with three runs, maybe gone into the sixth and qualified for a quality start. So it's tough for me to really bury Dallas Keuchel in the sense that, you know, he didn't pitch his best. Again, that first inning has been an issue for him. But he's always been, in the last 15 starts, I want to say, he's gotten past that first inning, not let it affect him, put up some zeros, allowed plenty of time for his offense to get back in there and do well. But Dallas Keuchel, in that first round, if it ended today, Dallas Keuchel would be pitching the third game in Cleveland for me and the Houston Astros, and he's been very good in Cleveland. So I think you've got to look at the matchups and as well as Dallas Keuchel's been going down the stretch. Just one bad play yesterday got him.
Blummer, talk a little bit about the momentum. You hear this a lot where, ooh, well, you want to be on a roll, you want to be winning as you go into the playoffs. And I would love to get a player's perspective that's been there. Is momentum really a thing in baseball?
I don't know if it's actually momentum or if it's, you know, the good vibe or the good mojo. It's just that joy or that happiness that you bring into a series when you're playing well. I don't think that limp, you know, we've seen teams in the past limp into the playoffs and get kind of beat around. It may be a little bit of a wake up call before they turn things around. But you see a little bit of that in the Astros. It's not complacency. I'm not sure what it is, but it's a little bit of maybe the expectation. They're like, they're not panicking. They're not worried, but, they know I have the sense that they feel like they know they're going to win the West. It's just a matter of time and they're not in a mad rush to go out and do it. And I'm kind of hoping, to be honest, having been in the clubhouse and having been in the booth now and watching this team for a couple of years, is I'm kind of hoping that they're kind of pacing themselves, because you kind of feel that with the way A.J. Hinch is handling the rotation, giving guys a couple extra days off in between starts, and the way he's, you know, kind of massaging some of these scheduled days off for position players around days off. But I expect them to come out of this day off today and really come out hot and heavy and really start trying to drive the ball and put up some runs, make a statement, win the West, and kind of accelerate into the playoffs. Accelerate before, but kind of accelerate around the turn getting into the playoffs.
Kind of on that note, Blummer, then, you know, you mentioned the day off with Correa getting the night off last night, too, trying to give him two solid days to maybe just kind of hit the reset button. But your concerns on him since he came back from the injury, not looking the same, obviously not hitting the same. And then how concerned are you on that thumb? You were the one that pointed it out in the telecast a week or so back when that one swing kind of, we knew it's not going to be right till the end of the year, but it looks like it's something that is still bugging him quite a bit at times.
Are you talking about the thumb with George Springer?
Yeah, Springer and the thumb and Correa just overall. How concerned are you?
Yeah, you know what? The thumb concerns me a little bit with George's, because I think if he doesn't take a good swing and he takes that monster hack and kind of, you know, spins out of his swing a little bit, I feel like it puts a little bit of torque on that thumb. The only thing that is promising about George Springer is that he bounces back pretty quick and he re-engages in the at-bat and still continues to take some healthy swings. So it's basically pitch to pitch, swing to swing for George. And who knows, once you get into the playoffs and adrenaline takes over, sometimes those things kind of, you know, get out of the way of your mind and you focus on the game and you don't worry about them. The bigger concern for me is Carlos Correa. Since coming off the deal with that back injury, I know it might still be nagging him, because back injuries have a tendency to linger. He's a taller guy that plays a highly mobile position at shortstop. There's a lot of bending over. His swing involves a lot of torque and a lot of rotation, which might be affecting him. But on top of that, I think when he's trying to trying to, you know, manipulate his swing with certain mechanics. Sometimes I think it's a little bit of paralysis by analysis. And I'm only saying that because I think he's thinking so much about his swing that the secondary thought is, which pitch am I going to attack? And if he's not thinking about attack first, I think the swing is going to take a little bit of a beating. And we're seeing that a little bit because he's indecisive. And when he does decide to go after a pitch that's a very good pitch, he usually misses it or pops it up to right field. So I would actually like Carlos Correa in the time off that he has yesterday, today, and moving forward in these ball games is to go out there and just mentally think about a pitch that he can hammer, get those hands ready and barrel it up and not worry about the mechanics of the swing, because sometimes the mechanics of the swing and thinking about it can actually slow things down. And Lance Berkman said it perfectly. He goes, the less I think, the quicker my swing is. And Carlos's swing right now is not quick.
Blummer, I don't know if you saw the comments from John Smoltz talking about baseball and how baseball needs to do something different. But he was talking about the fact that the last couple of World Series have been great, but if there's a clunker of a World Series, baseball is running the risk of losing some fans. Viewership is down. Attendance is down. And his thing was, he said he would like to see a first half and a second half like it's done in the minors, where somebody wins the first half, somebody wins the second half. For example, the A's, 35-19 since the All-Star break. They would basically win the second half. Astros win the third half, and there would be a best-of-three series between the two to determine who won the AL West. Thoughts on that? I mean, is he on to something here, or is he just crazy?
I agree with him in the sense that, you know, if the playoffs become a clunker and you get some of these low-scoring, high-strikeout-type games where the pitchers dominate, that could discourage a lot of fans. As far as baseball nationwide, I know it's, you know, we look at the NFL and we look at the NBA as far as national, and I think baseball is a little bit different because it's so regional and so concentrated with 81 home games and people being really invested in the local sport itself as opposed to watching, you know, across the country. I think fans of the NFL have fantasy league teams, so they're going to watch a lot more games out of their time zone, and in the NBA, it's the same way. You have the entertainment value or the way these guys travel around, so they're going to watch games outside. I think there's a little more of an investment regionally for these guys, so I think you got to take it city by city and maybe critique each organization and the way they're run, and that's the issue with viewership, because we saw early in, you know, 2011, 12, 13, the Astros had zero viewership because the product was bad and the TV market was bad. Now they're good, and thankfully, they're getting a little more coverage and people are watching more. So it's a little more reasonable for me, but I'm a purist. Man, if you grind it out for 162 games, I like that idea better than giving a team a chance to make a playoffs after 81 games. If you're good late, hey, you showed up late to the party. If you're good early and you fizzle out, hey, you fizzled out and you weren't able to maintain it. I think you need to be able to play 162 games, earn your way into the playoffs, and then start smashing skulls in the playoffs.
All right, ready, Blummer? Here's your fluff to wrap it all up, okay? So we've got an intern here, and he covers a lot of ground for us, but he's a little bit of a free thinker. And so last night on Twitter, people were doing split screens of Barry and myself trying to find our doppelgangers. So I was curious, one, do you have a doppelganger aside from, like, Johnny Bravo?
It's either Johnny Bravo or Max Headroom, if you guys want to go back.
I know,
that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay, because
Kevin Towers, God rest his soul, when I first signed with San Diego, he kept calling me Kevin Bacon.
Okay.
I took that as a compliment, because okay. I'm not sure
stronger,
anybody else would
bigger
agree with
Kevin
it.
Bacon, but yeah.
Yeah, so
we can go 6 degrees of Blummer at some point. But now here's the thing. He said that I looked like Mike Stanton, and then said, you know that Mike Stanton works with that guy, Bert Crackler, in which we all were completely dumbfounded and went, who the hell is Bert Crackler? He thought Kevin Eschenfelter somehow was Bert Crackler. So your challenge is you can work Bert Crackler in at some point, because we were like, how the hell do you get – I mean, Eschenfelter's not exactly Joe Johnson. And he got to Bert Crackler. So there's your tidbit of the day.
Bert Crackler. Okay, I gotta hold on to that one. That might be a good one.
There you go. We're going to tweet you Bert Crackler.
Please do.
All right, buddy. Enjoy your day off. Take us home with some good broadcasts, as we know you will, this weekend with the Angels and then on the road. But that's Jeff Blum. Follow him on Twitter and check him out on AT&T Sportsnet. Thanks, Blum.
No, good being on with you guys. Tune in. There's going to be a clincher here in the next week or so.
There you have it. Breaking news from Jeff Blum. We know it. We're going to see it. We're going to do it. All right, Barry's back from San Antonio. Nick and I as well. We've got more to get to, including a giveaway coming back. Your chance to win right around the corner. ESPN 97.5.